Well, good evening to you all, and thank you for your welcome. It's such a pleasure to be able to be among like-minded people, people on the journey, intentionally working towards making improvements into living in a much more conscious state. And so one way and another, Chris has invited me to be here and talk a little around the aging process. And I have actually spent a bit of time doing some life coach training and working among older citizens and helping them to plan and prepare for retirement mostly. Because I think what happens is that we sometimes shape up to retirement thinking that we're up for a nice long holiday. And it doesn't always turn out to be just like that. And so unless we do a little bit of preparation and have a bit of a goal setting happening as to how we want to experience that time between maybe 60 and 100 years. And so we need a 40-year plan ahead of us to make sure that we're going to look at aspects along the journey that will actually make us change. And as we age with our own health conditions, et cetera, we need to be thinking provisionally as to how things are going to go. So with that said, a little around my life coaching has also given me a passionate drive to travel a little bit more. That's something I love doing. So that was one of my major choices of using my time during retirement, was to make small trips and to be able to go somewhere meaningful and not necessarily go on the standard tour groups that many people enjoy. And so I have traveled in a few places where I've found myself in places of learning and discovering. And so I was going to just talk a little bit around a couple of those places that have inspired me and helped me to, I guess, consolidate some of my ideas about aging, and particularly as to what we can offer along the way, each of us. And so two of those places that I traveled to were both islands, one of them being the island in Scotland called Iona. This place I traveled to in around 2013. Many people will possibly know about Iona. It was a spiritual home for the early Celtic community who came across from Ireland in the 4th and 5th century. And they set about, because of the beautiful atmosphere of that island, feeling it was a holy place and a place for them to come into stillness and to experience contemplative life. And so they set about and made these little cells, as the word Celtic comes from, and then built those into monasteries. And from there, they've spread throughout parts of what was then Roman Britain. And so nowadays, Iona sets itself up, carrying on with the old abbey that exists there, as a spiritual place for people to come and go and have retreats and various other pursuits on that island. And so I had the opportunity of working there for a couple of months. And that helped me open my own spiritual awareness to a deeper state and wanting to go deeper and further as a Christian person. And so my experiences there led me to really contemplate the lives of those who'd gone before on that island, and also looking at what people were now attempting to do there from the retreatant point of view, which has somewhat changed and would be heading more into social issues around the world and how we can make a difference in other people's lives. So that little island was one of my little pilgrimage trips, as it were. The other little island that I went to was part of the Blue Zone area. And I don't know if you know about the Blue Zones, but they are a set of five places in the world which have been considered to be where people live the longest years of life in great health. And so aging there for people is something that's become a bit of a researcher's program. People go there to these various Blue Zone areas in the world, looking at aging and seeing how come these people can live up to 100 plus years in great health with just such a lovely sense of gentle well-being and contentment. So I had this opportunity through some Australian podcasters called 100 Not Out. You might have heard of them. Two lovely young men, very early 40s, Marcus and Damien, who are totally committed to the art of aging well. And so they had begun to research and chat around the Blue Zone areas. And that's where I learned of that. And finally, they decided to take a retreat group there. And I signed up to be part of that to one of the Blue Zone areas, Ikaria in Greece. So just a little context on that. The five Blue Zone areas of the world, as designed, I guess, by National Geographic, with a young man who has set about with a group of anthropologists studying aging. And so they came up with the fact that these five areas, which are Sardinia in Italy, Ikaria, one of the Greek islands, Okinawa in Japan, Loma Linda, California, and the Ecuyan Peninsula in Costa Rica. So this is quite a large cohort of many thousands of people who are all aging really well. And it was discovered that there were 8 or 9 tenants which could be attributed to each of those five places. And so the tenets of living well were things that we discussed and chatted around on the beautiful long Greek tables in Ikaria. So it became a time of a lot of reflection about how we in the West are aging and about generally how to get it right if we wish to have a look at aging well with wellness in the broadest sense of the word. And so having had a deepening in my spiritual growth, I thought this was a good chance to put myself out there in a more diverse group. And people who came to that retreat group, it was only 14 of us, but people came with different agendas, health professionals, people who were city planners that wanted to plan a village that would be perfect in every way to enhance aging, different perspectives, people came from backgrounds, etc., and then were able to share and reflect together about some of the things we were exposed to within the living of in that island. So speaking around the tenants, which we discovered after studying that, some of them are quite obvious. These people have wonderful nutrition. They look after their bodies well. And that's been something that's worried me in the West, that we can be so abusive towards our bodies, eating the wrong kinds of foods and not really honouring the body and digestive processes and all the things that go about keeping us well. People there have a plant-based diet, very little meat, and eat very lovingly, mostly in family groups. And so they take their time, and their food and their meal is a real celebration. It's not taken on the run in front of TV or with some device in the other hand. And so the nutritional thing is quite obvious, as well as the exercise and movement. Movement is one of the best things for us in aging, as we all know. But through my little bits of life coaching here and there, I have found that it's so important to keep moving, but to find movement activities that will continue to keep us on track and enable us to be continued. Often people set off and are unable to maintain a sense of exercise throughout their life. And then they find their health falling away, and it becomes a vicious circle. They are not well enough to go ahead and do the movement and exercises, and then they become a little more under pressure of various disease and illness. So those are the obvious things. The less obvious things within the list of the tenants are the things I'd like to chat around now. And they were the group of all the Blue Zone areas have a great sense of family. That is a priority, and they are strong in family. And unfortunately, us in the West have become somewhat weakened through circumstance, through individuality, and all the things that go against holding together as family. And many of us have to go and travel further afield from our families. So to get that connection around family is not easy, but it is so very important. And again, there's no such thing as a perfect family. I don't know one that doesn't have dysfunctionality around it. But then again, looking at it from our point of view, if we have come into a deeper awareness around our own lives, we need to be much more loving and forgiving and understanding around the dysfunctionality of our own families, to try and enhance and uplift that sense of family again. And then looking on further, the sense of connection was a very vital tenet. All those people in the Blue Zone areas are wonderfully connected. They know each other well, and they accept each other. And so they have a great sense of belonging. And I'm sorry, but those things have been virtually wiped out from our society. And I think we found that greatly during the lockdown periods, during the COVID lockdowns. We did feel somewhat isolated, cut off, set aside, invisible, lonely. And so that sense of connection is something that we have all got the chance to bring about in the lives of those around us. And I know that I need connection. I need friendships. I need a supportive network. But I can't necessarily sit there and wait for that to happen. So some of the parts of my self-reflection have got me seeking ways and means of bringing more connection into my own life and the lives of others. I've found using certain vehicles and organisations helpful. Generally speaking, as a Christian person, I don't find that in any church that I've belonged to, because those are large institutional gatherings where people come and go. And unless there are opportunities for small group participation, of which there are in many cases, those are the places where you can grow, where you can learn, where you can have friendship. But however, the one organisation which is an international one, it's called U3A, you might well have heard of it, University of the Third Age. And these are wonderful organisations in that they provide an educational, an ongoing educational opportunity for senior people, as well as having opportunity to develop small interest groups. And this is where I have found my own niche, and I have managed to start several interest groups of different kinds. And that means that you are bringing like-minded people into your own field, and you're also being able to have something to offer within those groups. I happen to have started a travel group with people interested in travel, just to discuss and talk about different aspects of and countries that we've traveled to. I set up a reading group. People could come together and share what book they were reading. A Mahjong group, where people have learnt, and I've been able to teach Mahjong. I've taught Mahjong now to over 50 people. And there are 10 little groups flourishing around my city who are all playing together. They didn't know each other to start, but they're now small communities of support to one another. I also started a little garden group. And so those people, we visit each other's gardens on a regular basis, help out with ideas of what they could do or what they would like help with. And we visit other gardens as well. Now, this group has become a really strong group of friends, and that's been just really lovely. We did set up another little group, a technology group, to help older people to get to grips with cell phones and things like that. So within each of these groups, you've got like-minded people who are going to join them, and you can also offer some of your own skills in those areas of interest. So again, just getting that, helping to bring about a sense of belonging, a sense of connection. I think we've all got the ability to do that, and it doesn't take very much to make it happen. The other thing there as well is when we're walking around in our own communities, you know, do we actually stop and take in what's around us? Well, we do in a mindful way, but sometimes people can pass us by and we haven't even managed to give them a smile or say good morning. And then after, sometimes when we've passed someone and we think, well, my goodness, if I had actually just nodded my head, smiled, it might have made their day. And I think our older societies, and obviously in the blue zone areas, that just comes so naturally. But I don't know, it's part of my own Anglo-Saxon background, somewhat reserved. I need to prompt myself to continue to help show those people that I have seen them. They have been seen and acknowledged as I pass them by. And I think the idea of being present to one another comes up for me, and having a sincere way of looking people in the eye and having that sense of acknowledgement. And it doesn't take a lot, but it, again, sometimes for myself, takes somewhat of a prompting to remember to continue to do this and to be that light out there, that bit of encouragement in what can be a lonely world. Everybody is carrying along a sense, perhaps, of loneliness, of isolation, particularly among the older community. Older people in our Western communities are pushed to the outskirts. They've got retirement homes tucked way outside the community or the major cities, And also, as older people, we're made to feel less visible. And one way or another, we can be put into situations where loneliness can become a real state of being. And as most medical people today will tell us, that loneliness has become the major precursor to all disease. And so this is why the people in the blue zone areas are not succumbing to disease. They have 60% less cancer, 50% less heart disease. They have hardly anyone that's obese. Their diabetes is very minute, hardly any, and dementia and Alzheimer's are extremely low. On the island of Ikaria in Greece, I think there was just such a few people out of the 8,000 population there that had dementia. It was almost a handful, could count on one hand. And when you consider that those people are well into, many of them are well into their hundreds, and that hasn't hit them. And so you have to ask why and think about our own selves now. What can we do and how can we help bring about wellness around us, well-being around us? And so those were some of the little insights that I got from that retreat and trip to the Greek island. And it has definitely had an impact on how I choose to live now. I'm a lot more mindful about how I eat, what I eat. I have my own organic garden, just in small pots. I don't have a big section. And I reduce myself away from all processed foods. And I think we've been given such a lot of wonderful things in our world, and we need to rediscover them again sometimes just to get back to how things maybe ought to be, how they were meant to be, how we ought to all be living much more in touch with everything in our surroundings, all the living things that we have around us that support us are there for our benefit. And so that's been an area that I have worked a little in, and I have run some seminars on helping people to get into a plant-based diet, to transition away from perhaps some of the foods that they have recently come to be aware are not good for them. And so that has sort of been a little of the process I've come through from Ikaria. The other thing was there, as one of the major tenants of the Blue Zone areas, they all had a sense of purpose, a reason to get up in the morning. Now, lots of people, as I have noted, coming into retirement, they have a major crisis many times because they come out of the position perhaps of having been a school principal, bank manager, a hospital doctor, it doesn't matter, whatever they've come from, they've had an identity tied up within that career. And they feel, well, yes, we're going to sail into retirement and it'll be just all easily managed. But however, oftentimes a sense of identity is lost and they're just Joe Bloggs out the back garden in their old jersey, and they're no longer carried by what was their previous life. And they have to reinvent themselves and think, well, who am I now? And what is my purpose? What am I? Where am I going? And so I have found generally that thinking and perhaps renegotiating your own terms of what your purpose is as you come into retirement and carrying on through. And as all of you here have come into a depth of awareness spiritually. I'm sure that you are, like myself, feeling that your purpose is to help bring that same awareness to others in small ways. And that's a lovely underlying purpose that we can have together. But I think some of us have got skills in other areas that we can bring to the table, as it were, bring to the world. And I think it's great to rediscover ways and means of using prior skills and also your own passions to help reset a sense of purpose going forward. And so my life coaching probably has come out of that after retiring out of a teaching career. And it sort of flowed on naturally for me to perhaps work in that area. And so some study along those lines came quite easily to me. And so that for me has been a thing that I've really loved doing. And from that, these things have come about, my travel, my interest from that. And it flows along, continuing to keep me upheld and having that ongoing purpose. So I would suggest to you to perhaps re-examine your own purpose, as I have done, and perhaps reschedule some of the things that you're doing, reinvent yourself, rewrite your own script for going forward. One way and another, my Icarian experience has lifted my sense of, not only my sense of purpose, but my own esteem as an older person. Because I think, again, there can be an expectation that you are just going to be just the little old lady that doesn't do anything much. But I have felt really, I guess I can say I have been able to take off in a direction in my own right, and feel that I can be inspirational to other people. And, you know, I think probably I've got a long way to go, but I want to go a long way and do it well. And I'm so thankful that I have a spiritual dimension that I can deepen in and grow in. And through that, the process of letting go and being prepared to move forward into my very late years, to be able to be wise about my later years, and also preparing for my own death, and making that a time that I can finally let go of everything. And so in that process, I have gone through a lot of what we call decluttering, getting rid of things around the home, making the home a much more simple place, living more simply, learning to give away many things, learning to be more generous as I age, not thinking or worrying about my financial situation, thinking and knowing I'll be taken well care of. And then moving into the very last stages of the letting go and so forth, I've actually made my own, or haven't made my own casket, coffin, but I've had it made and I've decorated it. And so that sits there waiting, and knowing that as I age and let go even further, my sense of wisdom can increase. My sense of compassion can increase. My sense of satisfaction with what has been and what is to come. I can feel a really comfortable sense of letting go and yet still being lively and going forward with enthusiasm around the life that is with me now. So I'll leave you on that note, and we can chat further about it later after the meditation if you wish. So I'll close this part of the talk from now. So I invite you now to join me on a time of meditation. Let us bring into focus our breath. Using our breath as a gentle breeze. Freeing our bodies as we seek to become relaxed and at ease. Taking our breath through the nostrils into our heads, right up to the crown, flowing through our senses, softening as we close our eyelids, softening our cheeks, our mouth, our chin. Letting go of any tensions built up through our mind and our head during the day. Bringing our breath down through our neck and shoulders. Letting go of all the burdens of the day. Reducing tension. Moving now as a gentle breeze down through our upper to our lower back. Freeing the stresses and strains. Breathing in strength. Taking the breath, the gentle breeze, down through the top of our chest. Spending a moment of gratitude around our ongoing beating heart and our ongoing breathing lungs. Serving us day and night. Taking our gentle breath and down into our belly and our core and our sit bones. Breathing in comfort, easing our stress and tension, relaxing. Continuing the gentle breeze. Carrying on down through our thighs and our knees, relaxing, easing, and now finally down through our calves, our ankles, to our feet. Feeling ourselves grounded in the earth. Feeling ourselves centered and standing. Comforting the feet that have carried the weight of our bodies. Taking now one final sweep of loving kindness and gentle breath right over our entire bodies. Bringing them into total relaxation and readiness as we pursue to move into a deeper state. Bringing our awareness to the present moment, where we are right now. Who we're with. Allowing ourselves to let go. Gently freeing ourselves from doing into being. Letting go, resting our thinking mind. Letting go of the chatter. Opening towards silence. Letting go of dialogue. Seeking consciousness. Letting go of commentary. Seeking our inner sanctum. Letting go of judgment. Seeking our own secret space. Letting go of anxiety. Seeking peace. Letting go of barriers. Seeking spaciousness. Letting go of limitations. Finding presence. letting go gently, resting our thinking. Finding the sacred letting go all our cares, finding our essence, letting go of obstacles, finding our true selves, letting go of all our doing, finding our inner being, letting go, finding our soul, going deeper, finding connection, going deeper, finding universe, going deeper, finding God. Going deeper, finding stillness. Deep, nurturing stillness. Finding alert stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. You're coming to the end of the meditation. You will hear the sound of the gong. At the end of the third gong, please slowly come out of your meditation and open your eyes.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for the beautiful talk and the meditation. You said many important things, and I really appreciate them. And I wanted to point out, you talked about these components, these aspects of well-being, and basically cultivating the sense of belonging and connection, and that there are people who have this, you know, they grow up with this. It's ingrained in their body, in their mind. And it's definitely a physical thing, how they move. Their posture is also kinesthetically, right? It's passed on. And some of us in the world have to learn to cultivate this, maybe not from scratch, but from learning. And you mentioned loneliness. My husband sometimes says, you know, loneliness is all it's cracked up to be. You know, it's as rough as they say it is, you know. And you know, you really had me thinking, you know, how to cultivate this well-being within and around us, you know, in our surroundings. And that's really a path, right? And this sense of purpose. And something that also came to my mind was, if there's not this really happening inward, however much you're trying to belong in the world around us, whether it's in the home or just within the, you know, local community, it's just going to keep being this big push outward unless it's really happening inward. Also, and that's, you know, my experience, because I know I've always tried to, I call it the great push outward, you know, and that's, it doesn't really work unless there's the deep dive inward, you know. So I just, you really touched on all these things for me. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I think you make a great point there. You can't move outward until you've moved inward. And that's probably what's stalling a lot of what we need in the world, because people have not gone within and found that to be and generated from themselves to go outward. So, yeah, I think we're constantly on a learning curve on this one. Just have to really keep at it. Thank you. Good point you've made.
We have a question in the chat too here, Shona. If you don't mind, I'd like to read it for you.
Thank you.
If there's a break, I would like to know about your experience of the secret space you guided us to.
Yes, well, I find for myself going into that secret space, for me, it's a place probably near my heart that I feel that secret space. Some people find it in their head or a little room within their body, as it were, somewhere else. For me, I tend to drift my thoughts towards my heart area. And then, as I am in that space, I gather a sense of spaciousness that comes from the stillness. And in that spaciousness, sometimes I feel as if I'm in the sky. Sometimes I feel as if I'm in the middle of galaxies, huge, spacious, endless, timeless areas. And so, in that time of total stillness, I'm just lost totally in that space. And that's to me all that it is.
Thank you.
And thank you too, Martha. Appreciate it. Is there anyone else who would like to ask? Oh, yes, Barbara, please, please.
Yeah. Well, not so much ask a question, but just talk about, just first of all, say I thoroughly enjoyed your talk. It really was wonderful, and I loved your meditation. I'm so glad I came on tonight. And all the time you were talking, I was thinking about my sister. Now, I'm a very outward person, and I'm a very busy person, and I'm always a person who will always find things in my life, in my mind, my body, everything. But my sister's a completely different person, and she's a lot older than me. And, talk about loneliness. I wish she could join, I'd love her to join in on this. She probably could because it's a Zoom. I'm going to try and get her to join us. She's a shy person as well, but she gets very lonely. She never sees anybody. And basically, a lot of the times, the only person she talks to is me on FaceTime. She's in England and she talks to me. And I see a difference in her when I come on to speak to her, and she's very often, hello, and then we start to chat, and sometimes we sit on 2 or 3 hours, and by the time we finish, she's a different person altogether. She's bright, and I see her whole starting to glow, because loneliness is it's soul destroying. It really is soul destroying. And just to even sit with something like this now and really talk about things, and learn how to go inside and find the peace and the happiness inside of yourself as well, apart from the outside world, it's a big learning curve. And yeah, thank you so much. You really made a really good point, and I'm going to see if my sister will join us.
Oh, lovely, Barbara. I completely understand what you're saying when you see her, the difference in her after you've had
Oh,
time. And
unbelievable.
time is the most expensive or inexpensive commodity that we have to share. And it is something that many people are time poor and are unable to give that time. But being able to sit and chat with people is just such a wonderful thing to do. And visiting people in retirement villages or wherever it is, there's hundreds of lonely, lonely people.
Oh, yeah.
And time with a chat is just so uplifting to
Yeah.
anyone. And what you're doing is great for your sister. And this is one of the valuable assets of our modern day with Facebook. We can do these things. We can go online mm-hmm. and do that. However, on the reverse side of that, let me say that the young people coming up who are attached to their phones day in and day out, they think they're getting connection. They might have 1,000 views on Facebook, but they are still often desperately lonely because they haven't got the true yes. connection person to Trust. Person. And that's the sadness of the world. And again, it's a thing that we need to be aware of and help others, you know, who are stuck like this. And I think the likes of your sister, she'll be missing you, and you're a great someone that she's really looking forward to hearing from, obviously. Mm.
My sister's nearly 88 now.
Well, that's great.
And she's, you know, she's, well, I'm 75 myself, but I'm 75 going on 23. She's 88 going on 102 sometimes, you know. Yeah. And that just that connection when she gets one, I call her on FaceTime and we talk yeah. to each other. We can see each other, and we just, I got her onto the internet quite a few years ago, and she was afraid of it, but I got her onto it, and it's opened her world up, in because she never sees anybody, but she does yeah. see. This is a connection, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It was lovely.
Thank you, Barbara. It's wonderful to have you back again this evening, and thank you for making that point, and Shona too. There's a comment in the chat here. I'm a support worker working in aged care and disability. I'm very interested in the aging sector. I loved your idea of the use of holding on to family togetherness. Yes, COVID has emphasized this isolation, wondering what is important in life. I agree that we need more forgiving and understanding, sense of connection and belonging, friendship and connections, sense of purpose. I would like to know more about this. Decluttering, generosity, less worry, sense of wisdom, compassion increased. Please explain more.
Right. Well, where will I start? Well, looking at decluttering, I think it's a great idea to start with little things there. We live with far too much. It's a first world problem. We've got too much. We live in excess. So we need to peel back, come back into being in a more simple state. And so a way of starting that is to take a look at a small area. It might be the kitchen drawers. It could be the bedroom drawers or the wardrobe. And reducing down, just continually looking at things, giving them the tick for whether they should stay or go. Having a box ready for the taking to a charity shop and reducing. Coming back next day and looking at it a second time and doing the same thing again. And then looking at the possessions we've created over the years. Some of them have got sentimental attachments, are very hard to get rid of. We don't know what to do with them. We need to be able to let go of them, see them for what they're worth. If there's an earthquake or a fire, they're gone. What would we do without them? Can we live without them? And I always like the famous saying of, his name's eluded me, you know, it's well after midnight, time for old ladies like me in New Zealand to be in bed. I've got to remember William Morris. His famous quotation was, have nothing in your house that is neither useful or beautiful. And that's my standard. I love my home to be nurturing and beautiful, but I have reduced it down to just the most precious things and special things to me that will give me that nurture and have been able to let go and get rid of other things, quite unnecessary. Sentimental things are hard to get rid of. And then you find yourself being left with a whole lot of family memorabilia, somebody's war medals and somebody else's famous things. What do you do with them? You need to get rid of them somehow or other, find museums and places to donate them to. And as you start to do this, you start freeing up and feeling really amazing. It just is so good. It lightens the load. And so then, as I say, you can move on down through all the other areas of your life that need decluttering. It could be unfortunate situations you need to go and have a chat to somebody about, because it's been bothering you that those people in your life have caused a little bit of dissension, and they are now invading your own mind and you don't need that. So you might need to make an appointment and go and have a talk to someone and say, look, I really need to ask you to forgive me for that row we had way back. It's not doing me any good. I'm not sleeping at night. I need to come to you and say, look, I'm really sorry that happened. Can we start again? Can we reduce this thing out of our lives? It's another little form of letting go and cleaning out, clearing out, and sorting out our own selves. So going on to some of the other areas that you talked about, generosity. We don't have to have things to be able to give away. We don't have to have a lot of money. We can be generous in little ways. Just thoughtfulness is as much as a great start in generosity. And teaching ourselves that it's okay, I can give away this, whatever it is, because I don't really need it. And that person will get so much more benefit from it. And once you start on a roll and see how much benefit somebody's got from whatever, you begin to get the picture that, yes, this is a great thing to give. Giving is far better than receiving. And oftentimes I'll have a little box of chocolates or something tucked away and I think, I'd really like to keep that. And then I think somebody's got a need and I reach into the cupboard and bring the box of chocolates out. And after, I feel so great that I've actually done that. It's been a good thing to do. And then you become more encouraged to go ahead and free yourself up and get a lot more generous. Go to a cafe and maybe you see somebody there that's a little needy. Tell the person on the till, this is the next coffee coming up, paid for that person. Just a little bit of that kind of spontaneous generosity. You know, just go up to someone on the street and say something nice, and that's been generous. You know, I really like the scarf you're wearing. It looks stunning on you, and it can lift somebody's spirit. That's part of generosity, giving out of yourself, going out of your way a little bit to show kindness. To me, that's part of generosity. What was the other thing you said? Less worry. Well, worry doesn't give us a day longer, and we don't need it. We do not need worry. So we just have to let everything go and learn to put it well aside. And I think that's where meditation comes in. While we're letting go of the worry, it's being taken care of, and then we come into that lovely space. And then we're out of, when we come out of that, the worry has gone. Things happen in that space, in that stillness, that change us. We don't have to beat ourselves over the brow to say, I need to stop worrying, I can't do this. But I find the more we go into the stillness place, the more we are ministered to, as it were, so that the problems we carry during the day, the worries we might have, the anxieties we might have, lessen. And we suddenly find ourselves actually coping much better because we have taken that time out from the doing busy world of our lives and gone in to the deep nurturing places. So to me, that's a great way of getting rid of worry, letting it go. You talked about the sense of wisdom. Wisdom does come with age, and we do become more wise. And the more we are spending that time, that inner place, we are growing in wisdom. Again, that happens as a natural outcome. I believe that it does. And same with compassion. So the more we can come into this inner space, the more we can deepen into that lovely place of being, the more we will be developed, the more we will be able then to shine forth, give forth, as well as within our own inner person grow. And we'll find ourselves to be more wise, to be more compassionate. And then taking that in a further step, as you said, you want to know how to become more compassionate. Well, sometimes we need to set an intention for the day and say, today I'm going to live in compassion. And although we're not in deep meditation all the time, we can take small meditative moments where we can look into something. It might be somebody's face as we're sitting in a bus, and just look with compassion and think compassionately towards that person. We don't know what their circumstances are. And then just sort of thinking about that, I have to remind myself each time I pass a homeless person sitting on the street, part of me wants to say, why don't you get a job? And then I think, hang on a minute, don't be judgmental. This is somebody with a huge inner need. Show compassion. I don't usually give money, but I might buy a coffee and park it beside them and give them a smile and acknowledge them. And for me, that's hard to do because sometimes I don't like what I see. And part of me wants to get all political about it, but I have to learn to let that go. And walking in compassion helps me in that. So that's a little way of helping to get those things more embedded as we go along the way. Anyway, enough on that maybe.
Well, I think you've really wound that up very nicely, Shona. I have another one here for you. Sometimes it does not really feel like I have a choice about making real life connections. It's very difficult sometimes for me, even though virtual connections are helping greatly, making the real life connections is still difficult. Would you like to comment?
Well, I think start with little things. It's the same with anything that we feel shy about or are not good at learning. I think if we start off by helping to train ourselves to just maybe start smiling at less threatening people. Well, the older people are definitely less threatening. Smiling and giving a greeting, and you'll be surprised that the smile will come back and those people will be pleased to say hello. If you're doing a walk in a park or walking towards a supermarket or something like that, outside in a supermarket car park, any elderly person will greet you happily because they're out there feeling the same way as yourself. And so often we think that we're the only ones that are shy about this, but a whole lot of people are. And it's just a matter of thinking, okay, I have become aware I can do something. I'm going to get brave and I'll do it. I'll just try myself out. And I think it's like anything, you get better at doing it. And so I'd say just start off with less threatening people, elderly, and children maybe, and then develop from there. And just track your development and feel pleased with yourself if you've been able to do it well.
Oh, thank you, Shona. And thank you also for the question. We have a comment here too. Thank you, Shona, for such a beautiful session all the way from New Zealand. It must be past midnight now.
Yes.
yes. Did you say that you have decorated your own coffin? Wow. Could you share more on how you did that? Truly at ease and at peace with life and beyond. Thank you for all your kind sharings. And I think this might be coming all the way from Malaysia.
Oh, thank you. Lovely. Yes, well, I have an older brother. He's part of what they call Men's Shed. I don't know if you have that in your countries, but yeah. It's a wonderful organisation. Again, that's good. A wonderful community connection place. And men who often find it hard to get together with other men and talk, it's just such a great space for men. Women can do this naturally. They have lots of small groups often and they can ring and chat, talk to anyone. Well, these men's sheds have just been something else. I've been so inspired by what I've seen there and how my brother has connected in there with a number of people. Now, in this particular men's shed, they actually make coffins. And so they've got all the gear for that, and there's one particular space where they do all of this. And so my brother had talked about making a coffin for himself and his wife and so forth. So I said, well, how about, is there any chance you could do one for me? And so he did. He went ahead with it, and I went down during the process and watched him do it, and praised him along the way. He was happy to show the little skills that he was putting into it. And so then he organised for me to have one of the people that work alongside that men's shed help me with the design for the outside. And that was a most wonderful woman who had set about a little business of making small caskets for the little babies who are born stillborn in the hospital. And at the point of delivery of those babies, when they are sent home with their parents, they were usually popped into a little cardboard coffin type arrangement. And she thought it would be much nicer to make a really pretty little casket for the little babies, the little stillborns. And so she went about a business setting that up. And so I was really delighted to meet her and to employ her to do the decoration on my coffin. And I had a particular pretty piece of china, and it had a nice pattern on it. And she magnified that and blew it up on a computer and decorated it for me in the way in which I had set about. It's a plain white coffin, and it's got this pretty pattern of flowers going around it and at intervals. And I could choose what colour I had inside. And yeah, I really got with the program and thought, hey, this is great. I feel comfortable about this. I have no fear of death. What a wonderful place where I'm going to. And it's just great to know that's all sorted out. No one has to worry about it. It didn't cost very much. It cost about $500 or $600, whereas you can pay $2,000 or $3,000 if you wish, going to the regular funeral directors in New Zealand. Yeah, so that's how that little bench came about. And I must say that one of the U3As in New Zealand has a very interesting interest group that specialises just in that, and it's the whole process of planning for your own funeral and making your own coffin or doing whatever you need to. Yeah, so that came out of a U3A initiative in one of our cities here too.